Amen. This morning's New Testament lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31, which can be found on page 926 of your pew Bible if you would like to read along. This passage picks up immediately following where our passage from last week led off, where it was discussing how the church was divided over its leaders and the different groups in the church's allegiance to those leaders. Paul reminded the people of Corinth that the church is the body of Christ, with Christ as the head, and Christ is the leader that all the people should be claiming, not Apollos, not Cephas, not even Paul. When the people of Corinth stop looking to the ways of the world, the leaders of the world, and focus solely on the leader in Jesus Christ, this is when they can be of the same mind and the same purpose. It is with these words still fresh on their minds that the people of Corinth would come to the words that we come to this morning. Let's listen now for the word of the Lord. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For the Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord. Riddles. We have all had people in our lives who have been ridiculously good at riddles. These individuals seem to have access to a different part of their brain and think differently as they can look at the situation of a riddle and analyze it with a quickness and ease as if they were simply engaged in a conversation with someone. With any given riddle, they pay attention to every single detail. Notice what is different than what would be in a normal story or a normal scenario. and speak to those differences and the reality of what is in play. It requires a different type of wisdom and a willingness to use it. When Paul began to speak to the church of Corinth in the passage we were in last week, we saw the beginning of him engaging the people to look at things differently. Not necessarily to look at it like a riddle, but to engage the mind in a way that is different than the world called them to engage it. There was conflict in the church as they were claiming who they were, by which leader they were studying under, and by who baptized them. They were creating status. They were creating divides. Paul immediately called them all out on this and showed them the gravity of this situation by saying that these divides were dividing the very body of Christ. The true head of the church isn't Apollos or Cephas or even Paul. It is Christ and Christ alone. It is in this vein that Paul reminds the people of Corinth that they are to be one body, united in Christ, with the same mind as Christ guiding them in all that they do. And if they can't do this, they are dividing the very body they claim to worship. They are dividing the very Lord they claim to serve. And this is where our passage this morning, with the mind of Christ and the unified body being the statement that immediately followed the one we can't come to now, picks up. Because the unified body of Christ and the mind of Christ in this world is going to share a message that is very different than the message of the Church of Corinth are used to hearing. Or to be honest, the church of any time is used to hearing. If we go out into the world and we turn on the news, we are called to be the best, to fight to be the best, to not worry about how others are affected by our actions, but to go out and just strive to be the best. In our human nature, we are used to hearing these messages of competition, hence dividing under the different leaders. We are used to competing for resources, looking for the best of the best, and seeking to be the best of the best. And so Paul wants to drive this point home as he begins our section this morning discussing the foolishness of the cross. As the commentary on this passage states it rather succinctly, Paul sets up a contrast between the wisdom of the world and God's foolishness. God acts foolishly in at least two ways, using the cross for salvation and entrusting the message about the cross to the imperfect church. The cross seems foolish both to Judaism because of the shame associated with crucifixion and to Greco-Roman culture because crucifixion typically was used as an act of power against insurgents. In that time, the scandal of the cross was a level that we fully cannot comprehend. And yet God was using this to turn the world on its head once again for many reasons. All throughout the scriptures, we see that God is countercultural, using the means of moving the story forward to be the younger son instead of the older, which is what was common in tradition. Using the means of women instead of men, which was common in the culture. The poor instead of the wealthy. Our God is a God who breaks down the human constructs that we keep on building up of power, prestige, and wealth to continue to show us that at the heart of it all is love, grace, hope, and Christ crucified and risen. The crucified Christ is going to be foolish to the world, though, that it will not be self-evident to the world that He is the means of salvation. Why would you celebrate someone who was killed? Many people had ideas of what salvation would look like, but a humble servant born to a young mother in a stable laid in a feeding trough was far from it. A humble servant who then had to flee to a foreign land for safety because the king was slaughtering infants to try to find the Savior is not the idea people had for the Messiah who was to come. Living the life of a human in every day, in and outs of it all, for the first 30 years of his life, sometimes having to work as a carpenter and try to make ends meet, was far from the imaginations of good and faithful people of the Jewish faith and would not appeal to the Greco-Roman sensibilities of the means of salvation. And once coming into public ministry, living a life of poverty, eating with those who the world proclaimed the least of these, and regularly being proclaimed a glutton and a drunkard, because those were the people you were bringing the good news to, are all things that go against the earthly wisdom of the time. But God's wisdom is bigger, more powerful, and far-reaching. It is breaking down of our fallen wisdom and a building up of God's kingdom come here on earth. You see, for when we proclaim the gift of Christ crucified, which the world proclaims foolish, when we proclaim the wisdom of that gift, we show the world that there is a better way to live than the way we live now. We show the world that the divisions don't need to exist, for in the act of being crucified, Jesus overcame those things for us. And in showing us what has been overcome for us, Jesus shows us what is required of us in living this life, this side of the crucifixion. As a commentary on this passage says, those who see God most in the crucified Christ dare not become crucifiers of others. When Christ is wisdom, what we value is radically reshaped into the new family of God. This just further solidifies what our passage from Micah this morning reminds us of, what the Lord requires of us. And what does the Lord require of us but to seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God? This is what the Lord requires of us. It's not a suggestion. It's not a, hey, if you can, thanks. It's not a, hey, if you get around to it. This is part of our call to be God's people in this world. This is part of our call as kingdom people of God. We are called to proclaim the great mystery of the triune God. We are called to live into the gift of salvation that is brought to us through the foolishness of a cross and the blessed mercy of the resurrection. We are called to spread this gospel to all the world, and as Saint Francis of Assisi says, proclaim the gospel to all the world, and if you have to, use words. May our lives, actions, words, deeds, and whole being proclaim the gift of Christ crucified. May we seek to live each day looking to make sure that we are seeking justice not just for ourselves, but for all that the Lord was crucified for. May we love kindness for all of the ones in the world who bear the image of God, including ourselves. And may we walk humbly with our God and count it all a blessing as we walk humbly with our God, as we see we are abundant in life and not in need to be abundant in things. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved It is the power of God. In the name of the Creator and the Redeemer and the Sustainer, amen.